Just briefly about me, my name is Hazel, and I have been teaching Sunday school at Calvary Chapel South Bay for about 10 years. I also taught Sunday school at a Spanish-speaking church for many years when I was a young adult as well. Professionally, I'm a social worker, so I have the experience of working with children and families. Presently, I work for an organization. That provides family services, mental health services, and teaching support for preschools. Okay, so that's just a little bit about me. Let me introduce today's topic. Today, I'm going to be training on creative teaching strategies for the diverse needs of children's learning styles. So we're going to look at the different learning styles. I'll explain to you what a learning style is. I'm going to try and convince you why we have to look at learning styles, and then I'm actually going to give you some strategies for the different type of learners, okay? So first of all, when we talk about learning, I was thinking one day, like, what are some of the key concepts that we think about when we talk about learning? And I came up with a few. Let me ask you guys. Memorization is one. Okay, what is the definition of memorization? Anybody? To be able to repeat. Okay. Rote memorization. So something repetitive. Okay. And Mr. Webster says to commit to memory. Okay, the power, act, or process of recalling to mind facts previously learned or past experiences. It has to do with facts and bringing it back to the current mind, right? Refers specifically to the ability or power for retaining or reviving in mind past thoughts, images, or ideas. Okay, now, is there understanding in memorization? There can be, but not necessarily. And I'll give you guys an example. For example, when kids learn how to read, you don't just give them a book and they've learned how to read it. They start with A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. They don't know what that song's about. They just know that somebody taught it to them, and people get happy when they're singing it. So they just sing it, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and, you know, everyone's singing it around them. They know it. They memorized it. There's no thought behind that, right? It'll take some time before they understand that every single one of those letters represents a sound. And that when you put certain sounds together, it becomes a word. And when you put certain words together, it can represent a thought. And you put different thoughts, and you can put a book together and so forth, right? The first step is memorization, okay? The next term that I thought about when I thought about learning is knowledge. Could you guys tell me or help me define what knowledge is? Facts. Absolutely. The body of facts, principles, etc., accumulated by mankind. An example of fact, trees grow, the sky is blue, right? Is there necessarily understanding behind that? No, it's just facts, right? It's just something that you just take for granted. The next one is understanding. How would you guys define understanding?
When somebody gets something and
holds it, they can repeat it back from their own experience. Okay, so now there's some integration. Like now they're beginning to manipulate the knowledge, the facts, right? The definition, it says to get or perceive the meaning of, to know or grasp what is meant by, to comprehend. We're doing something with it in our mind. To gather or assume from what is heard, known, etc., infer. Okay? My mom is wearing her coat and she's going outside. Oh, she's wearing her coat. I know she puts that on when it's cold. It must be cold outside. Okay, so there's an understanding. It's beginning to apply. The next concept that I thought about was wisdom. Is understanding and wisdom different? So how would we define wisdom?
Applying
Applying rightly, absolutely. So there's a righteousness to it, okay? Because people can know the difference between right and wrong and still choose wrong, right? So there's actually an action between understanding between right and wrong. The quality or state of being wise. Knowledge of what is true or right coupled with just judgment as to action, sagacity, discernment, or insight. In 1 Corinthians 3:19, it says, "For the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight." And James 3:19 says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." So even the Bible differentiates two different types of wisdom. What might be wise in the world is foolishness in God's sight, but the wisdom of God is pure, right? So even in wisdom, we have a differentiation. Now let me ask you guys this. Out of the four concepts, which one do we prefer? Which one do we want? Memorization, knowledge, understanding, or wisdom?
Wisdom.
Anybody else? Anyone have a different thought? We actually want all four. Okay? I kind of tricked you guys.
You fell in my trap.
We want all four. We definitely want memorization. How many of you guys have purpose to learn memory by scripture by memory? I do too, but I'm not very successful at that because I'll be at it all morning. I'll put stickies and I walk away from my sticky and my desk and I can't recall. I can't. And much less the Bible reference. Right? That's super hard, right? But how many of you, and we do it to the kids. Every Sunday, if you have a curriculum, or every day, you're going to have a different memory verse, right? And the kids go home, and the next day, it's like, right? It happens to all of us. But how many of you guys have had the opportunity that somebody comes to you for comfort, and the Holy Spirit brings the right verse? It's whispered to you. It's relevant, it's true, and it's exactly what is needed. And it's because you had the discipline at some point in your life to put it there, right? You had the discipline to repeat it, to write it on sticky notes, to pray about it, and then you thought you forgot, right? But you exercised some discipline to put it there. We want that for our kids. So don't think that just because they're memorizing and leaving that it's going to come back void. At the right time, at the right moment, when the child is home, scared, when the child is at school, the Holy Spirit reveals it. And don't you doubt that. Knowledge, we definitely want them to have the Bible facts. We want them to know that God created heaven and earth. We want them to know that there was a big flood. It feels like a history book to them. You know, it's not necessarily all the time real to them, but we want them to have the facts, okay? Understanding. We want them to begin to apply them. And we definitely want wisdom. We want to make it relevant. We want to make it true that people were obedient in Bible times, that I can do that. And what does that look like? Because maybe obedience in Bible time was sacrificing your son, right? But what does that look like in the schoolyard, right? What does faith look like in that area? So we want them to begin to integrate that into current life, something that's relevant to them. Proverbs 4, 5, and 6 says, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs all that you have, get understanding." Okay? Now let's talk a little bit about the typical classroom. Could you guys help describe for me what the typical classroom looks like? Kind of like this. Yep, there's chairs. They're usually facing towards the speaker. People are sitting. Sometimes there's desks, there's papers. People are taking notes. Somebody's talking and somebody's listening. Okay? How many of you guys were good students? Oh, I'm outnumbered. I wasn't. I'll tell you guys that I had a really hard time in the typical classroom, and I didn't know that until I was an adult. That I struggled in this experience because to me, learning had to be visual. So you can talk to me all day, but all I heard was wah, 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 wah. When it's quiet and when I get to read it on my own, I get it. Okay? I get it. all by myself. But and translate that to today, like some of us who are not visual learners, we might struggle even in the sermon. Like we have to take notes, you know, we have to doodle. We have to do things to be able to focus. It doesn't mean we're not paying attention. It means that our body is working differently, okay? So for those of us who were not as successful in the traditional classroom experience, it wasn't necessarily because there was something wrong with you. Maybe it was because the classroom wasn't set up for your learning stuff. So today we're going to talk about learning because we need to recognize that not all children are going to learn in the style that we're going to teach. And I want to say that most of us teach in the style that we learn, okay? So if you're an auditory learner, you're going to try and have kids learn the way that you learned, okay? But I want to challenge you guys to open that up and to know that that child might be a kinesthetic learner, and that child is a visual learner, so you're going to have to shake it up for yourself so that you're also reaching those different kids. Deuteronomy 6, 6-9 says, "These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on door frames of your houses and on your gates." Deuteronomy 6, 6-9. This is how we teach kids God's truth. It's not in a classroom. It's a lifestyle. When you're walking, when you're sitting, have symbols at home. Talk about it at night, during the daytime, when you're in school. Live it, right? It's not the traditional classroom. So let's shake it up, teachers, okay? Learning happens when we introduce information into our brains. Information is not just spoken. Information is how we feel things. It's how we smell things. How many of you guys have a scent that reminds you of something in your lifetime? Can you share with us? Is it a good memory that it recalls for you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Thank you for sharing that. What about you? Like. Okay, so like say for example, if you walk into a home that they've just been cooking, it could remind you like of a travel or something like that. Okay, the smell of a Panera bread. Why are you making us hungry? You had a scent. You, I thought you raised your hand. No, anybody else? Yes. What does it remind you of? Is it a good memory? It is a good memory. It's a comforting memory. Okay. For me, there's a smell like of campfire, but it's not because of what you think. So my parents are immigrants from Mexico, and they're the only ones in our family that immigrated to the United States. So I grew up without extended family. And my parents were of limited means. So if we were to travel to Mexico, it's usually because it was something big and it meant a sacrifice to our family. So there was very few times in my childhood where we actually traveled to Mexico to visit extended family. And in Mexico, back in the day, I don't know if this is true now, if you travel there, they don't have garbage trucks passing on a weekly basis. People had to figure out what to do with their waste. So at the end of the days, they would burn their trash, okay? And I love that smell. I love the smell because it smells like campfire, okay? And when I smell campfire, it reminds me of family. It reminds me of travel. It reminds me of my childhood. And so that's why I like the smell of campfire, okay? All that to say is that that memory, that understanding, that experience is whole body and it's triggered by scent. Not just because somebody spoke to me about family, or that I went, it's because I had a full body experience, okay? We can use those things, that information processing, in the classroom. So let's get creative, teachers, okay? Every individual demonstrates a preference towards how the information is gathered or processed most effectively for them. This is defined as a learning style, and there is no right or wrong learning style. Unfortunately, I didn't have my handouts because I actually had a learning style inventory where you could actually take a little test and we would be able to understand what your learning style. Does anybody know what your learning style is? Yes. Yes. If you guys can put, yeah. Oh, perfect. Yeah, I will definitely do that. It's very unfortunate, but I will definitely get that to you guys if you give me your email. So. Oh, yeah. Yeah? Either way is fine. It's Hazenut, without the L, H-A-Z-E-N-U-T, 1@AOL.com. Very professional email address, guys. Hazenut1@AOL.com.
Mm-hmm.
No. Z as in zebra. Like hazelnut, except without the L. Hazenut1@AOL.com. Got it? All right. So I'll email you guys what's called the learning style inventory. You read it and you just mark an X at what is true for you. And then when you're finished, you'll see a trend. You'll either fall in either a visual category, in a auditory category, or a kinesthetic category, which brings us to the three types of learning styles. Three of them. Musical, so it's auditory. All right, visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. Okay, so I'm going to break them down for you. All right, we're going to start off by the visual learner. Okay, visual learners learn by watching television. They see images of the past when they try to remember. They visualize the shapes and figures of things in their mind. Okay, that was me. Does anybody else here think that you're a visual learner? All right, so let me give you a description of visual Victoria. This is what she might look like in your classroom. She needs to see something to understand it. She often rolls her eyes to the right and the left as they are being talked to because they are trying to picture it in their mind. So they're like, oh, okay, teacher. They're rolling back and forth. They like to write things down. They often need quiet in order to concentrate. Okay, so is the classroom quiet? That's how I did my learning. It had to be, everyone was asleep. It was probably midnight, and I was finally starting to study when I was in college, and that's how I would learn. They can handle a lot of visual inputs like charts, graphic pictures, but they usually like it orderly for maximum concentration. Okay, if it's too scattered, it distracts them. And they generally learn to read very easily, okay? So how to spot them? Visual Victoria is often looking around. She notices new things that she can see. Teacher, did you get a haircut? It looks really nice. Teacher, I love the new bulletin board. She loves visuals and will pay great attention to anything she can see, especially if it's new, okay? Are you guys starting to think of some visual Victorias in your classroom? It sounds like that. So let me talk to you guys a little bit about some of the things that would appear to a visual Victoria in your classroom. First of all, we have memory verses, right? So for a memory verse, what I usually do, I write it on our whiteboard, but in order to appeal to the visual learners, I usually underline. Okay, I highlight key words because it's going to make it pop for them. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I've even gotten more creative. Now I circle. Now if it's God, I block it. I make little hearts if it says love. Okay, so it's going to stand out for the visual learner. Okay? And it's going to help them re-trigger their memory. I was so excited to see this as one of the vendors, but this is the wordless book. I think you guys are all experts in the wordless book. Appeals to the visual learner, okay? And if you haven't seen these are awesome. Gold is for heaven. Dark color is for sin. The red is for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and makes us white as snow, and once we know Jesus, we are supposed to grow. Awesome. And I don't work for them, okay, guys? But check out the Evangel Cubes. I love those. Okay? Visual learners, this would appeal to them. Other things that I have done for the visual learner, if I'm going to tell a story, I am not an artist, but I can sure make stick figures. So I'll come into class a little bit earlier. Right now we're talking about Paul. Last week we were talking about Paul, Priscilla, Aquila, and how they were tent makers. So I came and I did a stick figure of Paul, Aquila, Priscilla. I drew a tent, and then they were sent money, and that released Paul to do a lot more traveling. He didn't have to do tent makers, so I just wrote symbols, okay? Nothing, trust me, nothing sophisticated. A little triangle for a beard, but it helped the visual learners to track some of that information. Other things that you can do is think about the images as you're recreating a story. For example, when I was going to teach on Moses when he was a child and they put him into the river, I just sat there and I'm like, okay, Lord, help me, you know, help me make this a little different, shake it up. I thought about the things that would, the images that would, that I was recalling based on that story. So I thought Egypt, we think of pyramids. Google search, image search, pyramids. What else? The Sphinx. Yes, I'm sorry. definitely the Sphinx. The Nile River is in Egypt, right? So I looked up Nile River. It's not a very clean river. other things that I related to the story was that the Pharaoh was making the Israelites, the Hebrews, make bricks, mud bricks. So I looked up mud bricks. Other things on that story was, let me think, it was the babies being born, right? The mom made a basket, so I looked for a Moses basket online. I found a picture of the Nile River, and then I found a picture of a princess. And as I read it, very quickly I would flash it. It gave them some visual imagery, nothing sophisticated. I did this for a story on leprosy, okay? And I had a bad print job, but what it might look like, okay? And it's impressive to them, and it gives them that idea, that point of reference, okay? The next thing that I'm going to share with you guys for visual learners includes things like puppets. And this is actually going to also coincide with kinesthetic learners, but I'll introduce it now, okay? A lot of us are not comfortable with puppets, okay? But I do want to say that always it's our comfort level that sets the tone for the class. And know that the kids are not judging you. They're going to be comfortable with it if you're comfortable with it, okay? So this is something that I've used actually in preschool classrooms, but we can definitely adapt this into our Sunday school classrooms. This is called impulsive puppy. He always makes decisions without thinking things through. Don't you, impulsive puppy? And this here is called slow down snail. He really is a wise character. He takes a lot of thought about things, okay? Well, my friend, slow down snail. One day he was playing in the sandbox and he was making sandcastles. He always loves to hang out there. He loves building. He had taken almost all of the time outside. He had made like a really sophisticated castle. It had 3 moats. It had 5 drawbridges. It was tall and he was there. But here comes somebody. He didn't watch where he was going. And guess what happened? Wow! What happened? Are you okay, slow down? No. Ah! What's going on here, my friends? Are you serious? Impulsive, come over here, Mr. Puppy. Do you know anything about this? You don't? Well, my friend over here is saying that you kind of trampled all over his castle. No, I don't know. I see paw prints over there. Okay, well, come here. Let's talk about it. It looks like you trampled all over Slow Down Snail's sand castle. What happened? Oh, you didn't see it there. Okay, so you didn't see it there. But I think you hurt my friend's feelings. Yeah, so boys and girls, can you help me a little bit about how we can figure this out? Okay, and then I'll have the kids tell me a little bit, resolve conflict, troubleshoot, prayer, forgiveness, and maybe Slowdown doesn't want to forgive him, okay? Maybe Slowdown rejects and he has to figure out, go bring him water, go get Band-Aids, go help him rebuild and so forth. And so this would show them, it would be a visual for them, but you can also implement some biblical concepts in there about kindness, forgiveness, about enduring, persevering, about making mistakes and so forth, right? Just one thing that our pastor tells us about bringing puppets into the classroom, do it. Take a risk, even if you're not comfortable with it. The kids are going to love it. I've done it up to fifth grade. All right? And again, if I walk in there confidently and, yeah, they're snickering, ha-ha, whatever, they get into it. They really enjoy that. And as a matter of fact, I'll jump into that. The only thing that our pastor does keep us in mind is that if you are presenting the gospel, have a real person do it. So it's not a puppet presenting the gospel, because then it becomes fairy tale and it becomes confused whether it's real or not. Okay, so a puppet might be able to accept and ask questions, but it's not the puppet that's going to be presenting the actual gospel. Okay, just something to think about. All right, so let's go on to our next style of learner. And that is the auditory learner. And remember, the classroom, the typical classroom is set up for the auditory learner. They tend to spell phonetically. They will sound out the words in order to spell them. Sometimes they may have challenges when they are reading because they cannot visualize well what they are reading. So they're not necessarily going to be the best readers. These students learn by hearing. And let me read to you some characteristics of an auditory learner. We'll call her Auditory Ashley. Okay, so here we go. They learn 50% by what they hear and 50% by what they talk about. So they're not only listeners, they're talkers. They like lots of auditory input. They like to tell you things in complete detail. How many of you guys have friends like that? Or maybe we're like that. And I woke up, and then I washed my teeth, and then I did this. And how to spot them? Auditory Ashley loves to talk. In fact, when she's 4, she talks whether anyone is in the room or not. When she gets older, she will learn to finally raise her hand, but at the same time, she'll say, "Teacher, teacher, I'm raising my hand, teacher, I'm raising my hand." She will look like she could hyperventilate and pass out if you don't call on her, okay? So they love to hear, but they also like to talk. How many of you guys have auditory Ashleys in your classroom? Yeah, they compete with you. So let me give you guys some strategies for the auditory learners. And we have somebody who likes to use music in the classroom, so maybe she can even help us in this area. First of all, one of the things that you can do is use music. An excellent way to learn scripture. I'm going to reiterate, I am not good at memorization, but there is one or two songs where I can tell you even the reference. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. Those who loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, 1 John 4:7-8, only one. That one in John 3:16. I learned it because it was in song. It's very powerful. Okay, so if you can incorporate that into your lesson, you guys heard I am not musically inclined, okay? I love to sing, and my hope is that once we're in heaven, we're all going to have equal talents, and I have a chance. Here on earth, it's not where I excel, right? But it's, with all my heart, I wish I had that talent, and you can actually make up your own, if you have a memory verse, challenge yourself to put it to a song. Think about the tunes that you already know. Mary had a little lamb, little. Can you insert that into there or other songs? So one day, I really, really wanted to use this strategy, and this was a memory verse of the day. It says, sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Psalms 105:2, and boy, did I pray, Lord, you know, inspire me. It took a while, but this is what I came up with. Doe, a deer, a female deer, sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. We sang it over and over again. The kids loved it, and they came back the next week singing it to me. It probably drove their parents nuts. You know that song that you can't get out of your head? Guess who did that? That was me. So challenge yourself to try and use music in your memory verses. Other things that you can do for the auditory learners is they like rhythms, things with movement. So you can do sing to him, sing praise to him. So you can come up with different rhythms, and it's going to be appeal to them. If you have musical instruments, you can make musical instruments, develop different rhythms. It's going to appeal to them. Other things, have you guys seen these? They sell them all over the place now. I'm wearing a microphone, but if I didn't have a microphone, I talk into it, it echoes in here and it magnifies my voice. So it's like a really cool toy. So what we'll do is I will say the memory verse, and who wants to come? And the kids love it. You know, they want to hold the big mic, and so they'll talk into it. I trick them. You guys want to know how I trick them? How many of you guys like how I treat my stuff? How many of you guys have a cell phone? Yeah, most of them have a recording device, right? This is what I did one time. There was a memory verse that said, sing to him, sing praise to him, and I say, all right, guys, let's practice it. All right, let's choose different types of voices today. I know, I'm going to talk like a big, burly man. Ready?
Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts.
How are you going to do it? Like a mouse? Sing to him, sing praise to him. What about you, like a robot?
Sing to him, sing praise to him.
And so everyone chose a different style of voice, how they were going to, so they practiced it, and then the recorder came on. All right, you guys ready? You practiced? All right, let's do it. Go, go, go. They did it. So if I have 10 students, they practiced it twice. How many times did they hear it? 20. Then we recorded it. That's an additional 30. That's not the end of the story, because now they got to hear it and laugh and enjoy and try and figure out whose voice is that. They heard it at least 40 times. You think they learned that memory verse?
Bwah, ha, 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 ha.
Tricker. Trickery. Right? All right. So some things that you can do for your auditory learner. And let's go on to our next style of learning, which is the kinesthetic learner. Kinesthetic learners learn through touch and experience. They must hold, touch, and manipulate objects to better understand them. They like to discover how things work. So let's talk about kinesthetic Keenan. Let me pull up his profile. And this is what he looks like in the classroom. You guys, I'm sure you guys have him. I know I did. They need to move in order to learn. They may seem hyperactive and are often labeled as such, but they are restless and frustrated when they don't have something to touch. They learn best by doing and interacting with an item. They may need to minimize their visual and auditory input and work alone with a hands-on item. Everything stimulates them, okay? You can always spot little kinesthetic Keenan. He is always on the move. Please note that most preschool children are in their kinesthetic learning stage. That doesn't mean that they're going to always be kinesthetic learners, okay? It means that they are developmentally in a kinesthetic stage. Diehard kinesthetic learners must do in order to learn. If we understand how God made kinesthetic Keenan's body, we can see his constant movement as a gift to be harnessed into growing God's kingdom rather than a disruption. Okay? These are going to be our kids who challenge us. How many of you guys have had kinesthetic Keenan? Let me share you my story of kinesthetic Keenan. This breaks my heart every time I do. So I had a kinesthetic Keenan in my classroom, and I know that I'm a visual learner now. I wasn't always as insightful. So my style of learning is it needs to be quiet when I teach, okay? So if you walk into my classroom, there's kids listening, and there's like, I have a set amount of time. So when kids are moving or talking, it distracts me, okay? So my rules are, it's my time right now, raise your hand, okay? I've since shifted a little bit. We still need to have kids honor classroom rules and so forth, but we'd also need to empathize the information that I'm presenting. So I had a kinesthetic learner, and let's call him Keenan. He would sit in the front, okay? And I taught second graders. And for the second graders, because I used to do centers, I still do centers, I wanted to keep them away from that so that when it's lesson time, they're not distracted by that. So I would sit them in front of me. So Keenan would sit right there. All his classmates would sit around him, but he made sure he had that front section. And as I talked the lesson, he was crisscross applesauce, but he was rolling back and forth, back and forth, and to side, to side, and to side, to side. And he started poking at people's ears and tickling people over here. It drove me nuts, okay? Because I was distracted, okay? I needed orderly for me to be able to feel effective. Okay? So, I remember one day I'm like, okay, I know that something's triggered in me. I better go home and pray. Lord, help me with kinesthetic cleaning. You know, help him to control himself a little bit better. You know, would you help him steal that body? Would you give him some insight? Would you teach him some self-control? Use me, Lord. Right? And then I came back that next Sunday and something... This class was a little different, and it's the Holy Spirit. I remember coming back into class, and I sat in the front of the class, and there was my Keenan. I was prayed up, right? And there he was at it again, to the side, to the back, to the front, poking and tickling, and he was at it. And when it was time for us to, the Bible question review time, I would ask questions. Of course, you're not going to reinforce that behavior and call on him after he's been distracting everybody. So usually when he did that, I'm like, oh, Mary, what is going on? I've noticed that you're sitting there, that you're listening, you know, and she would answer, or this kid would answer, and I would purpose not to call on him because I didn't want to reinforce that. Today was a different day for some reason, because I was prayed up. I'm going to call on him. Let's see what he's going to say. To my humility, that little boy could tell me every single detail of my lesson with detail and depth. There was application there. And I was so humbled because it was my heart that needed to change. This baby was created exactly like he was created. His body needed that. And shame on me for shaming him. Okay? I was very humbled, and I learned my lesson. He was my kinesthetic Keenan. From that point on, I would sit him in the back and would make sure he had the space that he needed because I didn't want him to distract the other kids. But when he was swinging back and forth and forward and back, yeah, he distracted me. And that's okay because I'm the teacher. He wasn't distracting his friends, and I was confident that he was getting it because if I had a review question, he's right on, okay? So be careful with your kinesthetic learners. Check your heart because usually it's our learning style that's getting in the way, okay? They're learning. We just got to make sure that we're accommodating the classroom to them. So let me give you guys some strategies for working with the kinesthetic learner. They learn by doing. Play-Doh building is good. So I don't know if you guys are able to do that, and a lot of us might shy away from it because of the cleanup, but I put rules on using Play-Doh. I usually, these are like from the 99-cent store. These are mats. I use plates because it's a lot easier. I don't throw them away. I might have them for several months. So this rule is that if you choose to play with Play-Doh, it has to stay on the plate, okay? Otherwise, it ends up in people's noses, it ends up on the ceiling, and it ends up on carpet, okay? So this is how we're going to teach them self-control. It has to stay on the plate. If you choose to play with it anywhere else, then you've lost your privilege. You got to choose another center, okay? So give them parameters. Introduce Play-Doh. Excellent for the kinesthetic learner. Not only that, I'm a therapist as well. We use that a lot for kids who are experiencing anxiety or who can't express their current state of emotion. It's really good because it gets that energy out of the way, okay? Food for thought. I use Play-Doh almost every Sunday in my Sunday school class, but it's just not a pastime. I start off my time like that. I have centers. It's usually a Play-Doh station while I'm signing kids in and out, and there's a theme. So last week we were talking about, 2 weeks ago, showing kindness to one another and how the churches were sending money to support the different churches. So they had a theme. If you choose to play with Play-Doh, it has to stay on the plate. Think about kindness, acts of kindness. What can you do this week, or what have you done in the past to demonstrate kindness? Okay? So remember to tie it, that every activity that you have in the classroom is purposeful. Okay? Other things that you can do is role plays. This helps a kinesthetic learner with the classroom. You can have things where they dress up. All right, and they can act things out because there's movement. I usually have a table of puppets. My typical Sunday school classroom has Play-Doh. I have a table of puppets, and this is for third graders, and I have a drawing table, and all of them have themes. Have any of you guys been to IKEA? If you go to their child section, they have collections of finger puppets. I have like a bag of those finger puppets. Same thing. If we're talking about evangelism, right now we're studying Paul, how would you present the gospel to somebody, okay? Or let's negotiate. What would it feel like if so-and-so happened? So there's a theme there. That's excellent for the kinesthetic learner, all right? Puppets for sure. Incorporate toys. I don't know if your curriculums bring games, and sometimes we run out of time, but think about this. If you're a kinesthetic learner and you're just being talked to, you need to shake it up for them. So use some of those games. Purpose to prioritize that because it's going to help different learners. This is really neat. They sell these like actually for schools, but we can easily make one ourselves. You go buy a ball and you would throw it to the child in the classroom and they catch it and you tell them, read the question where your right thumb landed. Okay, so this one says, who are the main characters? In today's story, who are the main characters? It was Paul, Priscilla, Aquila. Okay? Next person. All right. Oops. Wow, really bad aim. All right, next person. What is the title and who is the author? So what is the book title? We are in Acts. Acts 18, I believe it was. And who is the author? Does anybody know? Thank you. We knew that. Luke. All right? So incorporate the games in your curriculum. Think about it. Think outside of the box. We've done tic-tac-toe where the kids throw a bag, and if they land somewhere, it gets to stay there if they can answer a question. Okay, movement. We were talking about, I believe it was the manna. We played this game where everyone got a sheet of paper, and they crumpled it. And when I said go, they were at it. So there was two teams. They were just throwing it at each other. And when I said freeze, they stopped. And whatever side had more of the manna was the winning side. And the one who had less was the losing side. Okay, they loved it. We do things like competitions with the memory verse. Like I'll have boys against girls. All right, boys, and I'll erase one word at a time until I get nothing there and see who wins and who's the loudest and who retains the most. Okay? Another thing, memory verse time. Remember how I showed you for the visual learners how I underlined? All right? For the kinesthetic learner, what you can also do, when I saw this memory verse, I thought, whoa, that is a long memory verse, right? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. So I shook it up. I said, these kids need kinesthetic movement. Let's have them act it out. So kids, what are we going to say? Be strong. How can we act that out? Be strong. How can we do courageous? And what does courageous mean? So I break down the memory verse, and then they have to put a symbol to it. So courageous was like they stuck out their chest. Do not be terrified. So I'm going to teach you what my actual kids came up with, okay? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified and do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. Okay? The kids love it. It's fun. They own it. They start to dialogue with one another about the movements, and it's great for that movement.